On August 5, 2019, in the quiet town of Asheville, North Carolina, a young couple named Daniel Carter and Emily Roberts celebrated the beginning of their new life together. They had just been married in a small, intimate ceremony attended by close friends and family. The wedding was held at a countryside venue just outside the town, surrounded by rolling hills and warm summer skies. For many who knew them, Daniel and Emily seemed like the perfect match. They had dated for nearly 2 years, and from the outside, their relationship looked stable and loving. Daniel, 32 years old, worked as a construction manager. He was known as a calm, responsible man who rarely showed anger or frustration. People described him as quiet but kind-hearted. Emily, 29 years old, worked as a freelance graphic designer. She had moved to Asheville 4 years earlier and quickly built a successful career working from home. To those who met her, Emily was friendly, creative, and always full of life. They met through an online dating app in late 2017 and bonded over their shared love of travel, hiking, and art. Their relationship progressed quickly, and by the end of 2018, Daniel proposed. Emily said yes without hesitation, and soon after, they began planning a future together. During their relationship, Daniel believed he knew everything about Emily. She shared stories about her childhood, her struggles moving to a new city, and her dreams for the future. However, there was one secret that Emily had never shared, something from her past that she thought was behind her forever. Emily was a transgender woman. Assigned male at birth, she had transitioned fully in her early 20s, completing both her social and medical transition before moving to Asheville. In her new life, she rarely spoke of her past, choosing instead to live privately and quietly. For her, it was important to be seen simply as herself, Emily. When she met Daniel, she felt a connection stronger than any she had experienced before. As their relationship grew more serious, Emily struggled internally with whether or not to tell him about her past. Each time she thought about revealing the truth, fear stopped her. She worried he might leave her, or worse, react with anger or violence. Eventually, she convinced herself it was better not to tell him at all. By the time they were engaged, Emily had buried the secret deep inside, promising herself that her love for Daniel and their future together were strong enough to leave the past behind. After the wedding, Daniel surprised Emily with a honeymoon trip. They planned a one-week vacation to Blue Ridge Mountains, a place Emily had always wanted to visit. The couple checked into a cozy rental cabin on August 7th, looking forward to peaceful days in nature, away from the noise of the world. Neither of them knew that within just a few days, the beautiful mountain retreat would become the scene of a shocking and tragic crime, one that would leave a town in disbelief and a family searching for answers. It all began with love, but it would end in violence. The morning of August 8, 2019, started like any normal day for Daniel and Emily. The sun rose gently over the Blue Ridge Mountains, painting the sky with soft orange and pink hues. Their cabin, located near a quiet trailhead outside the small town of Blowing Rock, was peaceful and private, exactly what they had wanted for their honeymoon. Emily woke up early and prepared breakfast. She made scrambled eggs and toast while Daniel brewed fresh coffee. They ate together on the cabin's wooden deck, enjoying the crisp mountain air and the sound of birds in the distance. Emily seemed happy and relaxed, wearing a light sweater over her pajamas, while Daniel scrolled through his phone, checking messages from work even though he promised himself he wouldn't. That day, they had planned to hike one of the nearby trails and later have dinner at a small restaurant in town. After breakfast, they packed their backpacks with snacks, water, and a camera. By 10 a.m., they were on the trail, walking hand in hand, laughing, and stopping often to take photos of the scenery. To anyone watching, they looked like a perfectly normal couple deeply in love. They talked about their plans for the future, buying a house, having children, traveling to Europe. Emily's smile never left her face. For the first time in a long time, she felt safe, like her past was finally far behind her. But Daniel had been acting differently since the wedding. Emily noticed he had moments of distance, where he seemed deep in thought, staring at her with an expression she couldn't quite understand. Sometimes he asked her unusual questions, about her old friends, her teenage years, even about doctors she had seen before moving to Asheville. Emily brushed it off as normal post-wedding curiosity. but inside she felt a small growing fear that something was off. That night, after dinner in town, they returned to the cabin. Rain began to fall softly outside, and Emily lit candles around the living room to make the space feel cozy. They opened a bottle of wine and sat by the fireplace talking quietly. At some point during the evening, Daniel asked Emily directly, "Is there anything about you I don't know? Anything important?" Emily froze for a second. Her heart pounded, but she smiled and shook her head. "No, nothing," she replied, trying to keep her voice steady. Daniel nodded but didn't seem convinced. The rest of the night passed with polite conversation, but something between them had shifted. Emily could feel it. For the first time, she wondered if maybe Daniel knew something, or worse, if someone had told him. The next day, August 9th, Daniel spent much of the morning on his phone, stepping outside to make private calls. When Emily asked who he was talking to, he simply said, "Work stuff," and changed the subject. Emily tried to ignore her growing sense of dread, reminding herself that this trip was meant to be a celebration of their new life together. But deep inside, something didn't feel right. There was a tension in the air that hadn't been there before. The beautiful honeymoon Emily had dreamed of was slowly turning into something else, something darker. She just didn't know yet how dangerous it was about to become. On the evening of August 10, 2019, 3 days into their honeymoon, the peaceful silence of the Blue Ridge Mountains started to feel heavier. The weather had shifted. Dark clouds rolled over the hills and steady rain began to fall. Inside the cabin, Emily and Daniel sat on opposite sides of the couch, the once warm and romantic mood between them now replaced by an uncomfortable quiet. Daniel had been acting strangely all day. He barely spoke, and when he did, his words felt cold and distant. He avoided eye contact. Emily asked if something was wrong, but he brushed her off with a short, "I'm fine," though it was clear that he wasn't. The man she had married just a week earlier seemed to be disappearing right in front of her. Later that night, as the rain tapped against the windows, Daniel excused himself and went into the bedroom. Emily stayed behind in the living room, staring into the fire, trying to calm her growing anxiety. She couldn't shake the feeling that something was happening, something Daniel wasn't telling her. After nearly an hour, she decided to check on him. But as she quietly approached the bedroom, she heard him speaking on the phone. His voice was low, serious. "She never told me," Daniel said. "Can you believe that? How could someone hide something like that from their husband?" Emily froze in place. Her heart sank. She realized in that instant that Daniel knew. Somehow he had found out the truth she had kept hidden. Whether someone from her past had contacted him, or if he had uncovered documents or messages she thought were long gone, Emily wasn't sure. But the secret she had feared revealing was no longer a secret. She slowly backed away from the door and returned to the living room. Her mind was spinning. Fear, shame, and regret all mixed together as she tried to figure out what to do next. Should she confront him? Should she pack her bags and leave? But they were in the middle of the mountains, miles away from the nearest town. It was late. It was dark. She felt trapped. A few minutes later, Daniel reappeared, his face blank, his eyes unreadable. He sat down across from her and stared at her in silence. Finally, he asked, "Is there something you want to tell me?" Emily's hands trembled. She nodded slowly. There was no point in lying now. "I was going to tell you, but I was afraid," she whispered. "I didn't think you'd understand." Daniel didn't respond. He simply got up and walked outside into the rain, leaving the door wide open behind him. Emily sat alone in the quiet cabin, realizing her worst nightmare had come true. The man she loved now looked at her like a stranger. And deep inside, she started to feel that this story was no longer about a secret. It was about survival. On the morning of August 11, 2019, local authorities received an unusual call from a nearby cabin rental owner in Blowing Rock, North Carolina. The owner, Mr. Harold Jenkins, reported that his guests, Daniel and Emily Carter, had not checked out as scheduled. Repeated phone calls to the cabin had gone unanswered, and their car was still parked outside, untouched since the day before. Worried that something might be wrong, Mr. Jenkins contacted the Watauga County Sheriff's Office. By 10 a.m., Two deputies were dispatched to the property to perform a welfare check. The rain from the previous night had left the area muddy and quiet. The air felt heavier than usual. When the officers arrived, they immediately noticed that the front door of the cabin was slightly open. One of the deputies called out, "Sheriff's office, is anyone inside?" But no answer came. Proceeding with caution, they entered the cabin. Inside, the scene was eerily calm. The living room was tidy, as if someone had just stepped out. Two coffee mugs sat on the small table near the couch. A phone charger was plugged into the wall, and Emily's purse rested on the kitchen counter. But as they moved further into the cabin, they made a chilling discovery. In the bedroom, lying on the floor near the foot of the bed, was Emily's body. She had been strangled. There were no signs of forced entry, no broken windows, and no indication of a struggle. Everything else in the room appeared untouched, making the violence of the scene feel even more unsettling. Daniel was nowhere to be found. Detectives were immediately called to the scene, along with forensic teams to collect evidence. Photos were taken, fingerprints lifted, and the entire cabin was carefully searched for clues. By 12:30 p.m., the case officially shifted from a welfare check to a homicide investigation. The initial assumption was clear. Daniel, Emily's husband of only 1 week, was missing, and his absence placed him as the primary person of interest. Investigators learned from Mr. Jenkins that Daniel and Emily had been staying there since August 7th, and according to rental staff, they appeared happy and normal in the first few days. However, things started to change when detectives interviewed a waitress from a local restaurant where the couple had dined on August 9th. She reported that Daniel seemed upset during dinner and had been asking strange personal questions to Emily in a tone that made her visibly uncomfortable. Police also retrieved Daniel's phone records. What they found confirmed their suspicions. Several long phone calls had been made from Daniel's phone on August 9th and 10th to an unknown number registered to someone from Asheville, Emily's previous city. Detectives quickly traced the number to a man named Gregory Hale, a former acquaintance of Emily from before her transition. When questioned later, Gregory admitted that Daniel had called him out of the blue, asking personal questions about Emily's past. Gregory, not knowing the full situation, had revealed that Emily was transgender, unaware of the possible danger this information could cause. With that, investigators believed they had identified the motive. Daniel had discovered Emily's past only days into their marriage. But now the urgent task was finding Daniel. His car was still parked outside the cabin, and his wallet and phone had been left behind. It appeared he had left on foot, or someone had helped him disappear. What had started as a dream honeymoon had become the site of a brutal crime. And the only person who could explain what happened was missing. By August 12, 2019, the search for Daniel Carter had expanded beyond Blowing Rock. Police units, search dogs, and even helicopters were deployed across the surrounding mountain areas. However, after nearly 24 hours, there was still no sign of Daniel. Investigators began to question whether he had managed to escape the area entirely or if something else had happened to him. Then, at approximately 3:45 p.m., a breakthrough came, but not the one anyone expected. A hiker, Susan Miller, reported seeing a man matching Daniel's description the night of August 10th, near a remote section of the Tanawha Trail, about 3 miles from the couple's cabin. But what stood out most was that Daniel was not alone. According to Susan, he was speaking with another man near a parked black pickup truck. The second man was tall, wearing a gray hoodie and jeans. "I thought it was strange for that time of night, especially out there in the dark," Susan told authorities. "They looked like they were arguing." This was the first indication that Daniel might have had help leaving the scene, or perhaps someone was involved in Emily's death as well. Digging deeper, detectives checked nearby gas station security cameras along the highway leading out of Blowing Rock. Footage from the early morning of August 11th showed the same black pickup truck traveling westbound, but the driver was alone, and it wasn't Daniel. The license plate led police to a man named Matthew Green, a local mechanic with a criminal history involving assault and illegal firearm possession. When police brought Matthew in for questioning, the investigation took a shocking turn. At first, Matthew denied knowing Daniel. but after only a few minutes of pressure, his story crumbled. Matthew admitted that Daniel had contacted him 2 days earlier through a mutual friend. Daniel, he claimed, was looking for a way out and seemed desperate. According to Matthew, Daniel offered him money in exchange for help disappearing after handling some personal business. But Matthew's next statement changed everything. "I never thought he'd actually kill her," Matthew confessed. "He just told me he found out something bad about his wife and needed to disappear afterward. I thought it was just a divorce or something, not this." Matthew then revealed that after Emily's death, Daniel met him at the trailhead, paid him $1,000 in cash, and asked to be driven to a remote bus station in Johnson City, Tennessee, about 90 miles away. Investigators confirmed Matthew's route and found surveillance footage of Daniel boarding a bus at 5:15 a.m. on August 11th. The bus was heading to Atlanta, Georgia. This discovery sent the case spiraling. What began as a local homicide was now an interstate manhunt. Daniel wasn't just missing, he was on the run. But the question remained: had Daniel truly planned the murder in advance with help? Or was this all the result of a spontaneous act of rage after learning Emily's secret? Either way, police now knew the clock was ticking. If Daniel made it out of Georgia, finding him would become much harder. The hunt was on, and Daniel Carter was quickly becoming one of the most wanted men in the region. By August 13, 2019, the manhunt for Daniel Carter was fully underway. News of Emily's death and Daniel's escape spread across the region, with his photo broadcast on local TV stations and shared online. Authorities in Georgia, Tennessee, and the Carolinas were all on alert. The FBI had officially joined the case, labeling Daniel as armed and dangerous. Detectives believed Daniel had a head start of nearly 48 hours. Tracking him was becoming more difficult with each passing moment. The bus that left Johnson City had arrived in Atlanta on the afternoon of August 11th, but Daniel had already left the station before police arrived. No clear sightings had been confirmed since. Meanwhile, new details about the case were coming to light. Investigators uncovered messages from Daniel's phone, showing that days before the murder, he had been in contact with Gregory Hale, the man from Asheville who accidentally revealed Emily's past. According to Gregory, Daniel's tone during the calls was calm at first, but during their final conversation, Daniel became angry. He said, "Thanks for telling me the truth. I needed to know," Gregory told detectives. But there was something in his voice, like he'd already made up his mind. Police also discovered a handwritten note left in Daniel's duffel bag at the cabin. The letter, scribbled on hotel stationery, read, "Marriage is built on trust. If you can't be honest with me, then what are we even doing? You lied. Now I have to fix it." This note confirmed to detectives that Daniel's actions were likely premeditated. The evidence pointed toward a man who felt betrayed and planned to punish Emily for keeping her past a secret. As investigators worked around the clock to track him, the public grew restless. Social media filled with debates and outrage. Some people expressed sympathy for Emily, calling her death a brutal act of hatred. Others debated whether Daniel had been pushed over the edge. But for the detectives on the case, there was no question. Daniel Carter had committed murder, and now he was fleeing justice. Pressure mounted on law enforcement to make an arrest before Daniel could disappear for good. Then, on August 14th, a tip came in from a motel clerk in Macon, Georgia. She reported that a man matching Daniel's description had checked in late the previous night, paying in cash and using a fake name. The motel was located just off the highway, an easy spot for someone who didn't plan on staying long. By the time officers arrived, the motel room was empty. Inside, they found signs that Daniel had been there, fast food wrappers, an empty duffel bag, and a receipt for a prepaid cell phone purchased earlier that day. The hunt intensified. Now Daniel had a burner phone, cash, and another day's lead. Detectives feared the worst. If Daniel reached Florida or moved farther south, he could vanish into larger cities, blending into the crowd or slipping across the border. Back at the sheriff's department in Watauga County, lead investigator Detective Mark Phillips gathered his team. "This isn't just about finding a fugitive anymore," Phillips said. "This is about stopping a man who has nothing left to lose." With every hour, Daniel seemed to grow smarter, changing vehicles using cash, avoiding cameras. But law enforcement knew one thing for certain. People on the run always make mistakes. And Daniels would come soon. On the morning of August 16, 2019, nearly a week after Emily Carter's murder, authorities finally caught a break. At 7:20 a.m., a gas station clerk in Valdosta, Georgia, near the Florida border, reported a man acting nervously while buying supplies. The man paid in cash, kept his hoodie pulled low over his face despite the heat, and left quickly in a dark sedan with no license plates. The clerk recognized the man from the news and immediately called 911. By 8 a.m., law enforcement from multiple agencies, including local police, state troopers, and FBI units, began setting up roadblocks along major highways leading into Florida. Helicopters were deployed, and officers spread out across nearby motels and rest stops. At 9:45 a.m., just outside of Lake Park, Georgia, a patrol officer spotted the dark sedan parked at the edge of a rest area. The engine was still running, but the vehicle appeared empty. Approaching with caution, officers found Daniel Carter sitting alone on a bench nearby, staring out across the highway. When officers ordered him to stand and put his hands where they could see them, Daniel didn't resist. He stood slowly, placed his hands on his head, and surrendered without saying a word. In his backpack, police found nearly $4,000 in cash, a prepaid cell phone, and a map with several locations in Florida and Mexico marked in red ink. It was clear Daniel had been planning to leave the country. But his plan ended there, on that quiet stretch of highway. Later that afternoon, Daniel was officially charged with first-degree murder and fleeing law enforcement. He was transported back to North Carolina to face trial. The trial. Daniel's trial began on March 3, 2020, at the Watauga County Courthouse. Prosecutors presented overwhelming evidence. DNA at the scene, Matthew Green's testimony about helping Daniel escape, surveillance footage from the bus station, and the handwritten note found at the cabin. Throughout the trial, Daniel showed little emotion. When asked directly why he killed Emily, Daniel simply replied, "She should have told me the truth." But the courtroom remained focused on the facts. Emily Carter had been brutally murdered by the man who vowed to love and protect her, only days after their wedding. After 2 weeks of testimony, the jury found Daniel Carter guilty on all charges. He was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. The aftermath. Emily's friends and family remembered her as a kind, joyful, and courageous woman who had worked hard to build a new life for herself. Her tragic death became part of a larger conversation across the country about violence against transgender individuals and the dangers of secrets, fear, and intolerance. By 2021, a small memorial was placed near the cabin where she spent her final days. A plaque reads, "In memory of Emily Carter. A life taken too soon. May truth, love, and acceptance lead us forward." Though justice was served, the case left lasting scars on the quiet town of Blowing Rock and on everyone who followed the story. What began as a romantic honeymoon in the mountains ended as one of the most heartbreaking crimes the region had ever seen. Daniel Carter would never see freedom again. And Emily's name would never be forgotten.